I hope and pray that you know today that because of what Jesus did on Friday, what we know as Good Friday, good for us, not so good for Jesus, but good for us. We were forgiven. We were forgiven for all of our sins, whether they're small, large, anywhere in between. They've all been forgiven by his blood upon the cross. And when they placed him in the tomb after he died, your sins went in there with him. He took them with him on his body, in his body. And he placed them in that tomb along with his body. He bore all the sins of all the world for all time. And so this morning we have a celebration of the fact that we are a forgiven people. We are forgiven. We are all forgiven, no matter what, no matter how, no matter when, no matter where. Anything we've ever done wrong, any mistake we've ever made, it's in the tomb forevermore. Jesus took it with him. And so Friday night, as you know, we had our cross. And we had, as part of our service, we asked you to write down some of those things that you ask for forgiveness. And I don't know about you, but if you're like Peter, who when he was hiding after Jesus' death, after he had denied him three times, most likely Peter was still in grief and still in guilt and still feeling awful for what he had not done. He hadn't admitted knowing Jesus, and he felt awful and terrible. But here's the thing. We know that Jesus forgave Peter, right? No matter how bad he was, no matter what he did, God forgave him. And so when we think about the cross today, we think about all the sins of all time being placed upon the cross upon Jesus. But for those of you that placed your sin upon that cross, you notice it's those all those things are white now. The blood washed those sins away, and it's left only white. Pureness, purity is what we are. But lest some of you would like to take back some of those things and be guilty again, lest because some of you, that's how you operate. You ask God's forgiveness, and yes, I received it. And then 10 minutes later, an hour later, a week later, a month later, a year later, you remember it. Satan reminds you because he's a liar. He wants to make you think you're still condemned when you've been forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. So I want to demonstrate for you what needs to happen in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. If you're holding on to any guilt this morning, or maybe you haven't asked God for forgiveness, you can do that right now. It'd be okay because He already gave it to you. So receive it this morning, right? Take it. Take forgiveness. You're not getting out of here without forgiveness, right? Forgiveness is so important for all of us all the time because sometimes we keep messing up. How did you do through Lent the last 40 days? Anybody do all 40 days besides me? Who else needed it more than me? I don't know. And did some, I had to go back to day 3 one time. I messed that one up. What I promised God I wouldn't do, and I did it. Oh, boy. We're human beings, aren't we? We're imperfect, aren't we? And some of us don't even know how to do forgiveness very well. We don't know how to receive it. Or we don't know how to give it. So this morning, I want you to do both. Receive it and give it, right? Receive it and give it. And as far as God is concerned, all those sins, it says in the Bible, he blots out all our sins. And he takes them as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. So you need to do what God did when the sins were placed upon this cross. They were taken away, placed into the tomb. Never to be seen again. Because here's the point about that. If you don't forgive yourself and receive that forgiveness, those sins might as well keep Jesus nailed there. We don't want to do that to our Savior. And God doesn't want you to do that to you either. So you notice the cross is empty. It's gone. The sins are gone. And then they took Jesus and they placed him in a tomb and they wrapped his body and placed him there and they put a stone in front of it. And the Pharisees were so afraid that he might get out. Because maybe he just was the Son of God. Maybe he just was more powerful than even death. And they placed guards in front of it to make sure the disciples didn't go steal that body to try to tell a lie that maybe Jesus actually rose from the dead. What a rumor that would be. But John 20 tells us, early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. How did that happen? She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and I don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple ran to the tomb to see. The other disciple outran Peter and got there first. He stooped and looked inside and saw the linen cloth lying there. But he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying to the side. Then the other disciple also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they hadn't realized that the scriptures said he would rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She glanced over her shoulder and saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus exclaimed. She turned toward him and exclaimed, "Teacher." "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. So here's what's going on in this particular story. There's a few people involved here, right? We have Mary who goes to the tomb looking for Jesus. We know in some of the other scriptures it tells us that she brought spices to put on his body. So Mary's going to the tomb expecting to find Jesus' body so she can anoint it, so she can put burial spices on it, so she can serve him and worship him. And she gets there. And the stone's rolled away. And so she freaks out, and she runs and goes and gets John and Peter and tells them what's happened. Somebody's taken Jesus' body. He's gone. And so first we see Peter run, and then we see John run. And we see different responses and reactions to what's transpiring here, don't we? We also have the angels there to speak to Mary. And we see what's going on emotionally speaking. First of all, Peter goes and looks in and says, I don't know what's going on. He's bewildered. John looks in and he believes. He remembered. Jesus said in 3 days he would rise from the dead. He remembered. And so they leave. They go back to the disciples, and who knows what story Peter and John go tell the other disciples who are still hiding in an upper room. But we see Mary. Mary stays there at the tomb. She's still looking for her Lord. She's wondering, where do they put the body? I need to go anoint the body. I need to take care of him, right? She doesn't realize that he's risen from the dead. And then what transpires? Jesus himself appears to her. He asks, why are you crying? Why are you weeping? What is hurting you? What's bothering you? And she's so concerned about what happened to her Jesus. Remember, Mary Magdalene had been at the cross watching him die that excruciating death. And she loved him so much because he had forgiven her of so many things. And she had what we know of 7 different situations or demons, the Bible says, that were within her, and he cast all those out. She loved God, and she loved Jesus Christ for all that he had done to forgive her. And so she just wants to give one last act of kindness to him. But he's not there. Sometimes we're looking at life in bewilderment. Things happen in all of our lives. And what it appears to be at the time is something tragic and awful and excruciating and troubling and problematic. And the person that we love, we still want them around, and they're not there sometimes, whether emotionally or otherwise. And we're wondering, where did they go? And we need something or someone to fill the void within us when things get taken from us in our life. That's the time we have to remember the empty tomb. We have to remember that Jesus is alive. And not only is he alive in terms of rising from the death that he went through for us, but also to empower us to go on after whatever occurs in all of our lives. To remind us that there is always an after with God. There's always something new God is going to do that might be totally unexpected of what you thought God was going to do. But most importantly, God always shows up right when you need him. When you're crying or you're at your worst and it looks bleak and it looks dark, Jesus appears and asks you the question, why are you crying? Why are you still feeling guilty? Why are you lost? Why are you stuck where you are? Why are you staying in this place of sorrow and grief? Why are you alone here when I'm here with you? See, Christ touches Mary in such a way that she recognizes who he is. Now, we don't know that he had a physical body. It doesn't say that here because she thought he was the gardener. Evidently, he had gardening clothes on. Maybe a little hat, you know, so the sun didn't get on his body. He appeared in that form. See, sometimes God appears in your life in many, 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 many ways that you may not even recognize. There may be a person that you think is somebody you know or you don't know or who you think they might be in your life. And in reality, it's God using the Holy Spirit within that person to touch your life and raise you up and give you hope again. God appears to us in so many beautiful, awesome ways through our music, through our worship, through our service. But I want to promise you this, because Christ rose from the dead, that shows you the enormous amount of power that God has to do anything that might seem impossible. And even if you're like Mary, who gets stuck in what did they, I came, you know, I can just imagine, you know, I would have expected more Martha coming to anoint Jesus' body, because remember, she was always busy doing, right? And can you imagine that type of personality getting to the tomb and Jesus isn't there and go, what do they do with him? I came here to anoint his body. I bought all these spices. I've been up all night. My sister Mary didn't even help me. See, sometimes in life we're on the way one place, right? And we got our plan, don't we? How many of you have plans? How many of you have concrete plans, right? They're in stone. You're not changing them for anybody. And you got a way of thinking and a way of believing and a way of doing things. And God forbid somebody mess up your plans. Run for the hills should they get unfurled in another way. Can you just imagine Martha going to the tomb? Just in a dither, all upset because her plans were spoiled. But see, it's good to have plans spoiled, isn't it? When God has something greater in mind. When God has something better in mind. When God has the best in mind for you. So very often we think our plan is the best it could possibly be, and this is all that could be. But wasn't it wonderful that God had other plans for Jesus? The Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the people that killed Jesus had plans for him, that they would destroy him. And just like Satan still tries to have plans to destroy us, guess what? We are a risen people, just like Jesus. Nothing can keep us down, right? No one can keep us down, right? Nothing can keep us down. Because God has something better for you in mind. For you to be victorious. For you to be powerful. For you to be someone like Jesus who rises from the dead. Whatever dead is. And it could very well be that it's your plans that need to be set aside. And ask for God's plan instead. It's a greater plan. Peter and John both had no idea, even though they followed Jesus. It just goes to show you how sometimes we can get lost in our faith. But I pray that you'll stay looking for Jesus, just like Mary did. When it's the darkest hour of your night, look for Jesus. When it's the greatest day of your life, look for Jesus. When you're in the midst of any kind of turmoil or tragedy or problem, look for Jesus. He'll appear. Maybe not in the way that you know or have known in the past, but in a way that will be perfect for you, the way for you to receive exactly what you need. The scripture said he would rise from the dead, and he did. So I promise you today that you too will rise, just as Jesus did. Wherever you might be on your life journey, my prayer is that you keep looking for Jesus. And by the way, he's looking for you. He's looking for you. You find him in the Word of God. You find him at this altar table where we will have communion shortly. During the Last Supper, he told those disciples to take his body and eat it as a symbol of how we need to be nourished by God's presence and that he is the very body of God, an embodied God. And then he took the cup, which we know is the cup of forgiveness. During Passover, they drink four times. The third time, which is the time Jesus spoke of, was what we know as the cup of forgiveness and the cup of blessing. So when we enter into communion today, Jesus' body, if you're looking for it, it isn't here. His spirit is. He's risen. But we symbolically come to this table to be reminded and remember the scriptures that his body was given for you and for me and for all humanity for the forgiveness of sins. And whoever believes in him shall have eternal life and will never perish. Good news this morning. Good news this morning. So I don't know who you are in the story, if you're Peter or John. John believed. Peter probably still felt guilty. Jesus had to have a chat with him in chapter 21, by the way, of John, to get Peter to understand you're forgiven. You received forgiveness this morning? Yes? You have new life this morning? You're looking for Jesus? Jesus is looking for you. Where do you find him? Right here, right now. Amen? Amen. Amen.